don't know. Good morning. Welcome to Dave and Alana and family. Appreciate you guys answering the call and braving the winter roads to drive down here. Easter services with Bert and Farley again will be April 3rd to 6th. There's a meal sign-up sheet for the Sunday lunch, as well as a sign-up sheet for anybody who would like to have host them for meals during their stay. A few announcements for the upcoming week. Women's Bible study Monday at 7 here at the church. Men's Bible study 7:30 at Jordan's. Friday Bible study 7 here at the church. On Saturday, youth will be held at Noah and Amy's at 7. Next Sunday morning, there's Sunday school and adult Bible study at 10, worship service at 11. Are there any other announcements or prayer requests? Order of service today, Levi will be doing the scripture reading from Psalms chapter 139, verses 1 to 14. Neil will open in prayer, and Dave will bring us the message from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And we'll close with 460, How Great Thou Art, followed by the doxology before lunch is served downstairs. And after lunch, we might get an opportunity to twist Dave's arm, maybe play a few songs on his guitar. Let's begin with hymn 447. Thanks.
Oh, Psalm this morning is Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
While the river flows. Shall we open in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today with thankful hearts. Thankful that you brought Dave safely to us for this day of worship. We thank you for each and every one of us who is able to make it here today. We thank you for the desire to want to be in your word today. We pray for all those who are not here, are not able to make it. We pray that you would be with those whose hearts are hardened and don't want to be in your word. We pray that you would open your book of wisdom to them, that they would be able to understand and attain that eternal goal. Lord, we pray that you would be with Dave as he brings the message this morning, that you'd give him words of wisdom, understanding, words that would impact us, and that we would be able to be given direction as we go about our walk throughout the week. We pray that each and every one of us would have those ears that want to hear, ears that are able to discern what you are giving us, Lord. We pray that you would be with us through this hour of worship and this coming week. We also pray that you'll be with Dave as he goes back home this week as well. And let's pray that prayer that you've taught us, Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, his only Son, our dear Lord, be multiplied to each and every one of us this morning. It is absolutely wonderful to get to be here with you this morning. I've been very much looking forward to the trip, and I only made my wife almost throw up once driving here, so it was not too bad at all. I thought this morning that we could turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs is one of my favorite books of the Bible, but anybody that knows me hears favorite from a lot of places in Scripture, so that's where that lies. I'm going to read a lengthy chapter or a lengthy piece. We'll read the whole chapter, just more for context than anything else, and focus on probably the first seven verses. So, reading in God's name, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give. When thou hast it by thee, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he has done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. They that have ears to hear, let them hear. I wanted to read the whole chapter, even though it was fairly lengthy, because if there is a focal point by God's grace this morning, it will be on humility. And throughout this whole chapter, the author touches back on that same theme that is so vital to our Christian walk. As has been well prayed this morning, we stand and sit in this place by God's grace alone. Isn't that right? We would not be here. We all know the many variables that can play into a Sunday morning. And by God's grace, all of us are here. And we can thank him for it. And we can know that we would be, if God was to judge us in our flesh, each one of us would be flatter than this carpet. Thankfully, God does not judge us there, but he has sent his only Son, that we could be covered with the righteousness of Christ, and that he could take our sin upon him, shouldering that burden that would have us, well, no, it would be flatter than the carpet. We get the great privilege of, when we read our Bible, and especially when we go into our Old Testament, we have the great privilege of reading it from a unbelievably blessed view in redemptive history. In First Peter, it bears looking at it. First Peter in chapter 1. In verse 10, he writes these words, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. This salvation that he speaks of in 1 Peter, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. That's the blessed privilege we have in the year of our Lord, 2026, and have had for all of these 2,000 plus years now, to be in this stage of redemptive history where we have the viewpoint of looking at these beautiful books like this book of Proverbs from the view of what it is to be redeemed by Christ. All of it from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, points to the redeeming work of our Lord and Savior. It's been accurately said that we can interpret Scripture back to front. We understand the Old Testament or the Old Covenant through the lens of the Gospels, because the Gospels was the fulfilling of the Old Covenant. We can understand the Gospels clearly through the lens of the Epistles, because through the power of the Holy Spirit, we were given greater insight even to what was spoken in the Gospels. None of it argues with anything. And through the book of Revelation, we get to look at the whole book through the clear lens of that, of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you may say, well, there's a couple things in the book of Revelation that I'm not sure about. Yeah, me too. So what are we looking at here when we look at the book of Proverbs? It helps when we study our Bible to know what we're studying. We're studying what is considered wisdom literature. And it's written in large part in poetry. And we can even see that as we read it and are struck by its beauty. As I said, Proverbs is one of my favorite books. So what do we have in the Old Testament? We have basically, our Bible can be divided into three sections. We have what is known as the law, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We have the prophets, both the major prophets and the minor prophets. And then we have what is known as the writings. And here we find ourselves in the writings. And the best interpreter of Scripture is what? Scripture. Hopefully you were saying that in your head. So let's see what Scripture says this is for. The Proverbs of Solomon in chapter 1. The son of David, king of Israel. It should be said that not all of the Proverbs are thought to be written by Solomon, simply because it's clearly stated there is others that write in some of the later ones. However, it's not to be disputed that these are true words. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The purpose of the Proverbs is that we would gain wisdom. Wisdom, as we look further on in some of the parts that we obviously won't get to today, goes right back to the very foundations of the earth. It says, by his knowledge, the Lord, by wisdom, hath founded the earth, verse 19. And by understanding, he hath established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop the dew. God, in his wisdom, has created everything. My son, we read, do not, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Remember when the Israelites, when God gave them the commandments, and they were instructed to write them on the doorposts of their house and on their gates. We are to be so tied to this word. And if we find ourselves in a place where we've become apathetic to this word of God, dear loved ones, hit your knees and pray that he would give you desire, and that your desire would be for him. It was said not that long ago, I was listening to something from one of my mentors. I thought it was a really good point. If we went tomorrow to the post office and we opened up the box, you opened up your mailbox, and there, in unquestioning authenticity, was a letter from God to you. It'd be kind of a big deal. You'd take that letter and you would memorize each word. You would soak it in. Loved ones, we have by the blood of martyrs that letter. Let's not forsake it with apathetic thought that it's somehow reserved for theologians or some such. This is our book. He gave it to us. This is the word of God. And we know the writers, as the writer of Hebrews says, that the word of God is alive and active. sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit and of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's the power of this word. Do not forsake it. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the table of thine heart. The writer here, Solomon, writes, and before we go into that, I'm going to just flip. Because it gives us such good context into Solomon, into First Chronicles, chapter 28, verses 9. And I'm going to start just a little bit before that. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, King David speaking here, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart. And with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. This is Solomon's call. And you can bet he would have had this in mind as he writes these words. We remember, what did Solomon ask for when he was asked to ask God for anything? He said, how can someone rule this people that is yours? God, give me wisdom. And God was pleased to give him wisdom and power and wealth, but more wisdom than any other man. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. The Proverbs, I've been working through, preaching through, very slowly, it would seem, because we've been away so much. But the book of 1 Peter, and that's been a real blessing for us. And 1 Peter, as it turns out, is the letter in the Bible that quotes the Proverbs more than any other. There's at least three direct quotes from the Proverbs. But here we find something. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. What does that bring to mind, or what should it bring to mind? We remember, as I said, we get to look at this word from an amazingly blessed place in time, after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. where he fulfilled everything that was spoken of by the law and the prophets and the gospel and the writings. He fulfilled it all. And when we see, when we go back to now, or when we go ahead, rather, to the book of Luke, Luke almost certainly had in mind the Proverbs. That's what we find as we study the Word, is it not? That the more we know the Word, the more interconnected it all becomes. It is such a blessed thing. We can do an early read through the Old Testament and scratch our head a lot. But the more we know the Old Testament and the more we know the New Testament, the more we see that it is all joined together, interconnected in such a way that it cannot come apart. It is one of the heaviest proofs that we have for these 66 books being the canon of God's Word. It is so interconnected with, now I hope I'm remembering right, over 40 authors, and written in all of these different styles. And all of it points to the same hope, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So the author, the Luke, when he wrote the book of Luke, we see in chapter 2, way down at the last verse, verse 52, and this, of course, was after Jesus was hanging out for an extra 12 days in the temple. And his parents caught up to him and were a little perturbed, you could say. I saw Jordan looking for his son earlier. And then I saw him pop out. I thought that was quite funny. I don't think they found that one quite as funny. Here it was 12 days. They had to go all the way back to Jerusalem to try to find their son that they thought was just hanging out with family. And we have to remember, we have to understand, they were big families, right? So it was not that big a deal that Jesus wasn't with them. They knew he was with the family, but then he wasn't. And so they get all the way back to Jerusalem and they find him sitting in the temple. And he said, "How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" But in 52 we read these words, almost certainly taken from the Proverbs. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." The thing about the Word of God is it is the Word of God, and it does not fail. We of this time get to understand this from the perspective of those who are in Christ Jesus. And that makes all the difference, loved ones. Because the people that were writing in these Old Testament scriptures were writing with that hope. We live in the fulfillment of that hope. We live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when he promises us that we will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man, it is not a light promise. Does that mean everybody's going to love us? Nope, that would mean that we're not preaching the gospel. Nevertheless, we will find good favor and understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Here we find the first verse of where I was praying that we could focus this morning. As we walk through this world that can often be so very dark, what does Jesus call us? Maybe you this morning realize that you're just stumbling in the dark, that there's no hope. You turn on the news, which is not a good idea, except to just check what they want to feed you. But anyway, you turn on the news, and what floods our vision? Hopelessness. Is it any wonder that suicide is so high? Made Canada's legalized euthanasia program, murder-suicide, is now in the top five reasons for death in Canada. It's reached that high. We have, we're very blessed to live in the land that we do, where we can gather in a place like this. And we dare not close our eyes to the things that we can do around it. When we have babies being killed by the millions and elderly people convinced that they should just end it by murder-suicide, we live in evil times. We live in hopeless times. We are not hopeless. We live in the hope of the only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are the light of the world, Jesus tells us. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. What is that supposed to look like? What does it look like? Well, I can tell you that we will, none of us, get anywhere in being a light if we don't know who he is. We need to ground ourselves in him. Your Bible better not be dusty, and it better be read with prayer. Because this is a time when people need hope. They need to know that there is more than their feeble strength. Because people can put on a bold face. Say, I don't even believe in God. What's the actual truth there? You can argue with me later, but I believe the actual truth there is not that anyone doesn't believe that there is a God, but we have in our sin nature that which causes us to hate God. We don't love him on our own. If you love God this morning, it is because of his great grace to you that he has opened up your heart and given you a new one. Romans Now, hopefully I got the right quote here in front of me. We'll soon find out, though. Romans chapter 14. And that is not what I was looking for. That's okay, though. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We find ourselves in grace. If we find ourselves in grace this morning, the grace comes with a responsibility. What is responsibility? No, we're not diving back into saved by works. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, by the power of the revelation of Scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. It comes with a responsibility when we find ourselves under the grace, the great grace of God. What is responsibility? It is our response to His ability. He is our great strength. Without him, we cannot do a single thing. And with him, we know what? The tree is known by its fruit. He calls us to know him and to share the gospel. What does that look like in your life? We can get hung up on that. And I think many, many times we have in our natures that ability to get hung up on what that looks like. I might be called to do a certain thing in the sharing of the gospel. That is what God has given me to do. That's not necessarily what he's given you to do. But he has given you something. Let's not burden each other with this. Let's love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our might and all our strength and pray, God, make me obedient to where you have placed me. He has placed each of you in a very unique place. loved ones, he knows us so intimately. There's not a single one of us that he doesn't know better than you know yourself. He made you. That's one of my favorite psalms that was read this morning, Psalm 139. What a beautiful psalm. For he has knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. There is no accidents in God's world. And it comes with humbling ourselves under this word. If we're not in it, it's hard to humble ourselves under it, isn't it? So let's get in it. And let's humble ourselves under it. This is the one book that we have. To be forthright, it is a library. Let's not forget that. It's a library of 66 books. This is the library that we have that we can, instead of going, everything else that we read has to be read with what? Caution. We have to pray for discernment when we're reading anything by anyone. It doesn't matter if they're a trusted teacher. The most trusted teacher can be wrong and are. And if they're honest, they'll fully admit it right off the hammer. This is not the word of God. However, is teaching valuable? Well, of course. Is preaching valuable? Of course. By the foolishness of preaching, he chose to share the word. What a wonderful thing he has done. This word of God is the one thing that we can take. And instead of reading it cautiously, we read it from the other direction. We read it from the direction of humility. We say, God, you have said this in your word. It is hard for my flesh to hear it. Help me to humble myself underneath your call for my life. What are we called to? Well, one of the things his word says is sanctification. It's God's will for your life, that you would be sanctified. What is sanctification? The growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In all your ways, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And I mentioned earlier that in this chapter there's different verses that come back to this, whether Solomon was meaning it to be a central thought to this section, I'm not going to put on him. However, it is central to my thinking this morning. Verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Verse 21, my son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. And verse 34, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he gives grace unto the lowly. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5, that very well-known portion that we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we could go on. It doesn't vary from this thought. For Peter in 1 Peter writes it in this way, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you, that he may exalt you in due time. What happens when we take this word of God and take it seriously? What happens when we take it and treat it just as precious as we would take a letter that we opened up our mailbox tomorrow morning and found, oh, look, a letter from God. Write to me that tells me how I should love and serve him. That tells me I can only do that because he first loved me and gave up his son for my sin. What does it look like when we start taking the word of God seriously? When we call it what it actually is? Well, it starts looking like the fruit of the Spirit. Overflowing amongst the people of God. What does that look like? Well, it starts to look like a city set on a hill that can't be hidden. It starts to look like hope for the downcast and the downtrodden, those who are stuck in their sin. Those who don't know a way out. Those who have been told that there is really no way out, except maybe dive into yourself a bit more, and from it you can find a wholeness, you know? It's really something that you need to dig deep for. It's no more of a lie than what we've also heard. You need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, Sonny. How exactly do you do that? God grabs the bootstraps and God pulls them up. And we stand because his grace is sufficient for all of our sin and for those that don't know it. He says what? He says that we are ambassadors. And we'll come back to that. In chapter 5 here, when Jesus starts into the Sermon on the Mount, he says, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Some of these things that Jesus says are hard for us to hear. For instance, blessed are they that mourn? Blessed are they that mourn? Really? We were having this conversation in Bible study this morning wait a minute. Is it off? We're called not to be frivolous and telling poor taste jokes and things like that. Is it off to laugh? Is that incongruent with God's word? Well, of course not. We of all people live in the joy of the Lord. We have everything to be happy about. And it doesn't matter our circumstances. If it does, we need to dig a little deeper on our knees again in this beautiful word of God, because we failed to understand that He disciplines us, that He tests us, and it is all for the glory of Him, the glory of our wonderful Savior, and for our good, that we would be that bride prepared for Jesus on that day. It has been granted, Scripture tells us, that we would be clothed in white. Loved ones, if you take a look in your heart of hearts right now this morning, and I'll do the same. Do you come up with pure whiteness? Of course not. We carry this sinful flesh, and it has great pull. That's why we still sin. Is that who you are? If it is, there is a hope, there is a Savior, there is Jesus. If you are in Him, then who you are is not those evil thoughts and desires of the flesh. Paul says, I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God with my mind. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he says those blessed words, praise be to God. So then I myself worship the law of God with my mind, but in my flesh I worship the law of sin. And then he starts into that blessed chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's where we stand in Christ Jesus. That is why we have a hope that is good enough to share with the hopeless. We can pray that God would use us in His various ways, how He sees fit, where we stand. How do we not enter into that good standing? And how, more precisely, as believers, how do we hinder that same word giving us life? The kind of life that is contagious to those around us. We do that by not humbling ourselves before the mighty hand of God. We do that in many different ways, don't we? Sometimes it's a sin that we can say, you know, it's a small thing. In fact, just about everybody around me has bigger sins. We grade ourselves on the curve. We like to do that, don't we? Loved one, the smallest sin is lawlessness. The smallest sin is a transgression of God's righteous judgment. We stand worthy only on one stand and one stand alone. And if we remember that, if we drive that into our heads and our hearts, if we renew our minds, as Paul says to us in the book of Romans, renew our minds. Drive it into your mind, drive it into your heart that you are where you are. If you stand in the grace of God by His grace alone. That's the only thing that holds you, and does it ever hold you? When you are held, when you are set free by the Son, Jesus said, when I set you free, you are free indeed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Does it begin to make sense? When we come before God, with a heart, with a spirit that needs Him, it is all the difference. Are we coming to the Scriptures going, oh, I guess I'm going to force myself through another chapter today? Or are we going, God, give me a desire to be in Your Word. And when I don't feel it, press it in. Press in harder. Be that person that Jesus talks about when he says the widow and that useless judge, and the widow keeps coming to the judge and saying, please, sir, do something for me here. This is in my situation. And he, because he was not a just judge, and cared nothing for the widow, but even he, obviously the opposite picture of our Father in heaven, but even that one, Jesus uses that as an example, even he, because she keeps coming, and the judge is like, this is going to wear me out. And he answers the prayer. Be like that person. When you feel that your heart is as cold as a stone. Loved ones, we've all been there. We'll all be there again. We carry a flesh that is real. Press into Jesus. He will not leave you or forsake you. Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will find. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. When we come before Him, this is referring to our state before God. Do you remember? You remember when Jesus came into the temple and he saw what was going on around him. And he makes this whip of cords, right? And he goes into the temple and he starts beating people and animals probably. And he grabs these big tables full of money and he just makes a huge mess all over the whole temple. And people are going, what? And especially the Pharisees, we remember they're like, who gave you authority to do this? And he told them, tear down the temple. I'll rebuild it in 3 days. Was Jesus the picture that you have in your mind of meekness at that point? Jesus was meek, though. He was meek and lowly. A bruised reed he didn't break. A smoldering wick he didn't quench. So what this is not saying is it's not saying that we are not bold for Jesus. That's not what this is saying. It is saying we posture ourselves underneath God. That we humble ourselves, loved ones, before the mighty hand of God. We ask Him with everything in us. Help me to see again my Father, my great need for you. Help me to see again that I don't love you. I don't love you because I loved you. I love you because you loved me and gave yourself for me. Help me to see the truth again, O God, of what you have given. And by your grace alone, my Father, let it bear fruit. In closing today, I'd like to take us to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his second letter, chapter 5. And in verse 17, we read these beautiful words. If you find yourself blessed to be, in that place where God has forgiven you, of your sin. Then you, loved one, are somewhere along this road. We need to give each other a lot of grace when it comes to this road because it looks different depending on where God has you on it. It's not something where we look around and try to ascertain fully where each other is on it. This is for us to soak in and to grow in. And God in His strength, the same one, the same God that created the heavens and the earth, the same God that sent His Son for your sin and my sin, the same God that rose again from the dead, will strengthen you and will hold you with His strong right hand. And He will make fruit of your life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This is what he's given to us. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the word unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Oh, let that sink in this morning. He's committed to us that word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Father, we would ask that you would bless the reading, bless the preaching, bless the listening this morning. Make us all God, as you have said, doers of your word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. We thank you for your word. We thank you for its wonderful life and abundance in being able to instruct us in righteousness, to instruct us in you, our most holy Heavenly Father. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.